Here, New Brunswick, New Dam Lake, just south of Campbellton. On September 10th, 2012, a man walking the shoreline of New Dam Lake, located in Sugarloaf Park, stumbled upon some bones. Upon closer inspection, the bones appeared to be human. The man had been looking for fossils, but found the remains of Gladys Marie Simon in the reservoir for the community's drinking water. Gladys Simon, 41 years old and a patient at Restigouche Hospital in Campbellton, had gone for a walk 8 years earlier and was never seen again. Gladys came from Elsie Buttuck, a Mi'kmaq community in New Brunswick. Standing tall at nearly 6 feet 8 inches, Gladys suffered from mental and physical illness, but was loved by her family and her community. No foul play was suspected by law enforcement in Gladys's death, but her family has unanswered questions. At any time during this broadcast or afterward, if you have any information that might help solve the case of the death of Gladys Simon, visit our website. Someone out there has answers. Our goal is to find them. It has been suggested that Gladys may have become disoriented and wandered off while on a walk. But how could this woman with physical ailments have ended up so far from where she was last seen in a remote, hard-to-reach location? What happened to Gladys Simon? Hattie Musgrave is an Aboriginal student advisor at New Brunswick Community College. She is also an advocate for all women. She speaks to the facts of Gladys's case.
Gladys was a 41-year-old woman who went missing. She was here in New Brunswick in a hospital setting, and I know that she had a diagnosis of a mental illness. I think that in many cases, people are diagnosed with a mental illness because they're traumatized by something in their lives. And when Gladys went missing, I think that people forgot that she was still missing until they found her.
Gladys's family never forgot. In the years leading up to Gladys's disappearance, Gladys's sister, Andrea Colfer, understood her vulnerability and supported her even when she was in care.
A lot of times I would be hauled out of bed by a phone call or RCMP. It's like, your sister's at it again. And, you know, so I would go to the scene and see how I could help. Bring her home, and then next thing you know, she's gone again, but she was seeing things that weren't there. So they put her away, and of course she got mad again, and this vicious cycle. Like, I would go to the hospital and calm her down, or she would see me and she would stop being aggressive. Oh, sister. And then those people would look at her, it's like, oh my God, because she literally would physically assault the staff.
It was Andrea's understanding that based on Gladys's behavior, that she was allowed certain freedoms.
In order for her to go outside, just to go outside, she had to accumulate points. She had to, she called them demeanors. I'm not allowed to go outside because I have too many demeanors. And that particular time, from what the hospital told us, is she didn't have any breaks. She used up all her demeanors, so she couldn't go to bowling or whatever that they had. So apparently she was very saddened, and she took a fit. And they let her go outside. And they allege that she went for a walk and she died of exposure.
Restigouche Hospital is respectful of Gladys's patient confidentiality, but they were able to share that procedure was followed in Gladys's case.
Privileges are recommended by the attending psychiatrist based on patient assessment and evolution with input from the multidisciplinary healthcare team. There is a policy and procedure called Code Yellow for missing persons, which is activated when a patient does not return from his or her privilege. When a code yellow is activated and the patient not found, the hospital staff has to advise the patient's next of kin or family and the RCMP the same day.
However, Andrea wasn't aware of Gladys's disappearance for 2 weeks. With help from their community, the family frantically began their search efforts. Robert Levi is former chief of Elsie Buktuk First Nation.
The family were doing their thing. They were calling. They were really, really nonstop. They were vigilant. They were wanted to find out where is her sister, you know. And us as leaders, we did our part in terms of trying to find out and making calls. And yes, myself anyway, I felt that more could have been done. I felt that I was hoping this was not going to be another one of what's happening right across the country to our Native women.
Searchers combed trails and lakes in nearby Sugarloaf Park. More than 8 years later, Gladys's remains were found by chance in a very isolated location on the shores of New Dam Lake, kilometers from the hospital. The terrain made the location very difficult to reach on foot, and Gladys's family, including Leona Simon, Andrea's daughter, and Gladys's niece, had doubts she could have made that journey on her own, particularly given her compromised health.
There was a few of us that went up. I remember just being in the back seat of the car with my sister, and you know, she's hyperventilating because this, what she was saying as well, like it's like a scary movie. And we get there, there's a DNR, an officer there waiting with a canoe. And so the men, they went on the canoe to the recovery site, and me and the rest of the ladies with my mom, we walked along the shore. And I ended up waist deep in the mud. So I was having a hard time, like crying. And it just showed me how difficult for even my stature to get out where she was.
Gladys's family never gave up hope of finding her. When her remains were found, instead of feeling a sense of closure, they were left with unanswered questions. Could a coroner's report shed light on what happened to Gladys? Would law enforcement support Gladys's family's pursuit of the truth? Could trauma from Gladys's childhood have made her vulnerable to the mental health issues she faced as an adult? One-year-old Gladys Simon's bones were found September 10, 2012, south of Campbellton, New Brunswick, in Sugarloaf Park. 8 years earlier, while in care of the Restigouche Hospital, Gladys was permitted to leave the hospital grounds for a walk, but never returned. Law enforcement ruled out foul play, but Gladys's family has reason to believe otherwise. If you have any information that might help solve the case of the death of Gladys Simon, visit our website. Campbellton RCMP declined our request for an interview and directed us to the statement they made publicly when Gladys's bones were found.
The Campbellton RCMP is investigating the discovery of human remains near New Dam Lake, just south of Campbellton, New Brunswick. On September 10th, 2012, at approximately 6 p.m., a man came to the Campbellton RCMP detachment to say he was walking near the shoreline of New Dam Lake in Sugarloaf Park when he discovered bones. The RCMP's Forensic Identification Section is assisting with the investigation.
A coroner's report identified the remains of those of Gladys Simon. However, not much else was revealed. Campbellton RCMP responded to the coroner's report with this statement on September 19, 2012.
The human remains located earlier this month at New Dam Lake in Sugarloaf Park, south of Campbellton, have been identified as a woman who has been missing since 2004. On June 24, 2004, Gladys Simon of Elsa Buktuk was a patient at the Restigouche Hospital and failed to return from her daily walk. It is believed Ms. Simon wandered into the nearby woods of Sugarloaf Park and may have become disoriented and unable to find her way back to the hospital. Foul play is not suspected in this case.
There would be no further investigation. Gladys's family was left with questions unanswered and with their memories. Gladys's friend,
Robert Levi,
remembers the good times they shared as kids in Elsie Bucktuck First Nation.
Well, that's a big family. Back, my God, I probably was about 10. We moved down here and we had a house. It's right across the road from the family of Gladys Simon. So we had a big family and they had a big family. And we just became next door neighbors and friends.
Gladys's sister, Andrea Colfer, remembers her early childhood with Gladys as a close but emotionally turbulent time.
She was a couple years older than me, but I ended up being a big tomboy. And Gladys more gravitated to my mother. And, you know, she liked to bake, and she liked to do things with my mother, like apple picking and picking blueberries and being her little helper. We lived a life of reaction. You know, we reacted to the weather. We reacted to poverty. We reacted to alcoholism in the household. If my father was drinking, then I knew there was going to be trouble. So I would, you know, take Gladys, and we had a little place near the house where the trees kind of naturally formed a little safe haven for us. So we would survive like that.
Gladys grew much larger than other children and had challenges at the time nobody understood.
She was bullied a lot. So when children would bug her because maybe she was a little bit slower, so I would be the younger sibling that would protect her.
You know, she needed a little, a little help sometimes and stuff. It was nothing compared to the gifts she had. You know, the challenges were overcome. It wasn't nothing major as compared to what she could offer. When you talk to her, when she's in a room, not only her size or her presence, but just the energy you feel because she's so innocent, she's so very pure.
I remember being young and, you know, she was really tall, but she was very childlike. I remember visiting her once at the hospital and just so happens to bring a teddy bear. And she says, well, I like that. So I said, no questions asked, I gave it to her. Like, and so she kept it and it really made her happy. She was always happy.
Gladys's mother died when the children were very young and their father struggled to care for them. The family home became fractured as some of the children, including Gladys, were moved off the reserve, away from their community and into foster care.
Gladys Simon was a victim of the 60s scoop. That's well documented. The family make no bones about talking about that. And that in itself made her more vulnerable.
Gladys was sent to Moncton, New Brunswick, while Andrea stayed behind in Elsie Bucktuck. They tried to remain close and would still see one another as often as possible, but the physical and cultural separation began to take a toll.
When she lived in foster care, I just didn't understand why she had to be there. It was hard to lose my mother. Like, I couldn't really conceptualize it. But over the years, I started grieving my sisters. Felt like somebody cut off my arm.
After the 60s scoop comes the trauma associated with that. After that comes her diagnosis of a mental illness and potentially schizophrenia. That made her more vulnerable than anything.
The trauma of separation and encroaching mental illness drove Gladys to make poor decisions as an adult. She experimented with drugs and began to have trouble with the law. She was incarcerated, but eventually required more acute emotional care, eventually becoming a patient at Restigouche Hospital. Even when they weren't together, Gladys's family never stopped loving her and never stopped wanting the best for her. Her disappearance led to years of heartbreak.
8 years after she disappeared, the discovery of Gladys's remains delivered a fresh wave of grief. Will Gladys's family ever know the whole truth? What is law enforcement doing now to pursue the truth about Gladys? And what is Gladys's family doing to try to heal? When 41-year-old Gladys Simon's remains were found September 10, 2012, near Camelton, New Brunswick, it gave her family some closure after more than 8 years of searching. A mental health patient who also had physical issues, Gladys was reportedly released by Restigouche Hospital to go for a walk in nearby Sugarloaf Park. She never returned. RCMP issued a statement that no foul play was suspected. But given the circumstances surrounding Gladys's death, her family believes an investigation is essential. If you have any information that might help solve the case of Gladys Simon, visit our website.
When Gladys's body was found, emotions were mixed.
The first thing is the realization that, yes, that now that's her, that they found her. What happened to her? Your mind is going on now. Was she killed? Was she, you know, what happened to her? But also there's this big sense of relief that you feel that you're saying, oh my God, now there's finally, at least after all these years, you know, you can have closure. And then of course, anger, you know, now you realize, yes, that it is her, that they found her, and they found her way somewhere and where it says, did she die violently? Why hasn't she been found so long? You know, the questions come up or was it somebody just put her there or what happened?
For her sisters in particular, it was a huge relief to have found her remains. But just because the remains are found and her spirit can be free and she can come home and rest in peace in Elsibuktuk, that's when the real work begins. Because what happened to her? How did she get to that place where she's missing and then we find her remains? What happened and who's investigating that? I find it very difficult to believe that a woman can go missing in secret. What I would say to anybody that knows anything about Gladys's disappearance and her potential murder is to think of your own family, think of your own sisters, think of how they would feel if it were you that went missing. You know, they just want her to rest in peace. They want that peace. When somebody plucks a part of your family from you, that leaves a hole. So they've already had to deal with that. Just come forward.
Despite Gladys's family's longing for closure, Campbellton RCMP is firm in their findings based on the coroner's report. No foul play is suspected in Gladys's death, and her case is closed.
And it's kind of sad to say that, like, police force and other people that are supposed to help, they don't. You know, these people matter, and their families hurt everywhere.
somebody knows something. I mean, this province is a small place. Somehow we're all interconnected, like eventually answers come out. And for her, I wish there would be some kind of closure. Somebody come out of the woodwork and say, hey, I can add something to this story because there's too many pieces of it missing.
If you have any information that might help solve the case of the death of Gladys Simon, visit our website,